everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass here at KVOI AM 1030, where we have worldwide live listening. If you're near a computer, you can hear the program anywhere at buckmastershow.com. And of course, the station's website as well, kvoi.com. We are here Monday through Friday, 12:04 to 1, and we welcome your calls at 790-2040. That is our Buckmaster Show live line. If you would like to join us, give us a call, and perhaps you can enhance our conversation today. We're going to start things off with Dr. H.T. Sanchez. He is superintendent of the second largest school district in Arizona. That is the Tucson Unified School District. At 12:30 today, we have Richard Elias, Pima County Supervisor, District Number 5. And there's quite a controversy over this Monsanto greenhouse project perhaps coming to Tucson. But that's for the second half of the hour. Right now, let's welcome Dr. Sanchez. Superintendent Sanchez, how are you?
Doing well, sir. Doing well. Thank you for the opportunity to come in and visit with you today.
Good to see you. Six schools in the Tucson Unified School District are at risk of losing their magnet status following the recommendation of the special master, that is Willis Hawley, Dr. Hawley. Now, what does this mean? He is the DSEG, he is the special master in the district's desegregation case. So what does this mean for these six schools involved? And it's Cholla High Magnet School, Ochoa Community Magnet School, Pueblo Magnet High, Robeson Magnet Elementary School, Safford K through 8 Magnet School, and Utterback Middle Magnet School of the arts.
Sure. So first of all, the special master is a designee of the federal court, and his job is to ensure that the court order, which is referred to as the Unitary Status Plan, is followed. In that original plan that was approved in the 2012-13 school year, it's been many years since it's been approved, the court noted that the district has 20 magnet schools. And with a population that's 65% Hispanic, 7% African American, about 3-4% Native American, and right around 22% Anglo, the court wanted to ensure that there were opportunities for integration. Now, when you have 20 magnet schools and you have a minority-majority district, it's challenging to get in the number of students you need to have diversity. So what the court said in the original Unitary Status Plan said, you're going to have to take a look at all 20 of those schools, and you're going to have to find out which ones really are bringing in diversity and which ones are not bringing in diversity. And those that are bringing in diversity, we need to support those and be sure that there are those opportunities. The ones that aren't bringing in diversity perhaps will lose their magnet label. Now, I want to be real clear. Losing a magnet label does not mean the school closes. The school continues to be a school. But instead of being a school that serves the 230 square miles of Tucson Unified School District, it serves the neighborhood that surrounds it. That's the difference. So instead of saying, we're going to cast a wide net, bring kids in from 230 square miles at one of these schools, instead it's, we're going to bring in our neighborhood and we're going to serve our neighborhood. So
these schools are not closing, in other words.
No. The schools aren't closing. So when somebody says, what's the difference between a magnet school mm-hmm. and a school that isn't? Think about it being a neighborhood school versus a school that its neighborhood now is all 230 square miles. That's the difference. And so what it allows a school to do is focus on its neighborhood. Now, there are some dollars attached to being a magnet school, but the special master has been very good in saying, just because the school loses a label doesn't mean they're going to lose all of the money. Instead, the school will be encouraged, if the judge agrees with the special master's recommendation, the school will be encouraged to create a plan that will continue to support reading, math, and other parts of this unitary status plan. They'll be able to submit the plan to the special master and the plans for review. If it's supported, then that funding continues for those specific areas. And I have good faith that the special master will keep his word and he wants to see the school succeed. I don't take him as a man who doesn't want the success of the schools. It's just that he's charged by the court to ensure that schools that are integrated continue to be magnet, and schools that are not, then their obligation should be to the neighborhood they serve.
How about open enrollment? Does that still continue in light of this?
Yes, open enrollment still continues. Open enrollment is a state law. And so the state allows any parent in any neighborhood, in any district, to go to any school where there is space or room. So open enrollment is occurring now. Parents can open enroll at any school. We encourage parents to choose three options. That way, if they don't get the first, we can look at the second and third option. And for some of those campuses, there is transportation. And for others, the parents would provide the transportation. But it's still ongoing.
Let's go to our live line. Tom had called first. So, Tom, you'll be first on the live line on the show. You're asking about override money, I believe. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, Dr. Sanchez, will you recommend that a roll override be voted on so that they add more money to the classrooms?
Okay.
You know, what we're in the process of looking at right now is a bond, which is similar to an override. And what a bond would allow us to do, it would allow us to update some of our schools that were built in the 50s and 60s, and we actually have some schools that were built in 1908. And
really?
So it would allow, yes, sir. So it allow us to support those schools with classroom technology as well as updated learning spaces. So we are anticipating putting a bond together in concert with the community, and hopefully the board will approve us pursuing that bond April or May, so that we can get it on the November 17 ballot to continue to support our schools.
We had several parents appeared before they spoke before the board meeting last night. They were very concerned, and some young people as well, I believe, spoke concerning the issue of bullying on campuses.
You know, bullying is something we take very seriously. It's something that we don't tolerate, and it's something that we deal with swiftly. The challenge with bullying in any situation, it's really a matter of getting all sides of the story, because if you're going to levy a consequence or a punishment on a student and you don't have all your information together, you better believe that the parent, if you're incorrect in labeling his or her child as a bully, that parent has equal right to ensure that their child is safe, secure, and supported. So we take bullying very seriously. We investigate it. We document our investigation. And there are severe consequences for it. I mean, we even held a Impact Tucson event where we brought in a national speaker to talk about bullying and raise awareness in the community that it can't be tolerated. And you take a look at the national tone and the way people are treating each other. We want to be a model of how you respect each other and take care of each other. And it's something we deal with every day with 48,500 students.
Robert has called us. He would like to ask something as well about bullying. Go ahead, Robert.
Dr. Sanchez, several people talked about that bullying last night, including an 11-year-old girl who I did not get the impression was some sort of instigator. Since bullies are made at home, I think the parents are looking for suspensions and expulsions. What, you can't just say that they should take their bullied child to another school. They're looking for the bullies to be identified and removed from the school.
Okay.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Anytime we have a bully, and we have a situation where the bully does victimize a student or group of students, there are suspensions. And if it's ongoing and escalating, we do remove the student from the campus. I think where the frustration comes is if you're an adult and somebody breaks the law and they harm you, in a court of law, the judge says, here's your penalty. You're going to jail, and you get satisfaction in knowing what the consequence was. But in public education, because we're dealing with minors, a lot of times the frustration from parents comes from, all right, so the bully was bullying my child. Let me know, did you drop the hammer? And by federal law, we can't tell them what the consequence was. And that's where I fear parents fill in the blank and believe, well, they just got a slap on the wrist or it must be permitted. It's not. But that parent and that young child has privacy rights under federal law. And I know that's where the frustration comes from. And I wish I could say, you know, that child was suspended and that child knows that if he does anything like this again, he's going to be removed for 30 days and go to our district alternative placement campus. And if he continues his behavior, he's not going to be at the school. I wish I could say that to the parent, but I can't. And that's a federal law. And so in the end, the parent says, well, I want to know what happens. And we can say there was a consequence. However, because of privacy laws, I can't tell you what that consequence is, and a lot of times that frustrates folks.
12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Ray, let's take a break right here. We'll be back with Dr. Sanchez. 790-2040. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster coming up Thursday at noon. Why a group of Tucson residents want to raise the city sales tax. Also, we'll meet the new superintendent of schools for Pima County. He's Dustin Williams, Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice AM 1030 KVOI with worldwide live streaming, podcasts, and the archive at buckmastershow.com. On 1220, Dr. H.T. Sanchez, superintendent of the TUSD School District, is with us during the first segment. We're talking about bullying. One more bullying question from Sherry, calling at 790-2040. Go ahead, Sherry.
Hi. Good to talk to you guys.
Good talking to you.
I have a question as a family member, as a parent of a child who has been bullied, and I'm speaking theoretically, but sure. Is there not a way that the school or the counselor or the principal or whoever can issue at least a copy of the policy?
Okay.
The federal laws and the policy of what happens when?
Sure.
So that they at least understand that there are consequences of some sort.
Yes,
ma'am. And while you can't discuss the individual specifically, you can. And then the other piece is, what do you do, or how do people pay attention as a follow-up? Because if somebody's being bullied and they report it, then it gets worse.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sherry.
So, great question. In our student code of conduct, which is referred to as the general rights and responsibilities of students, that document lays out the consequences for bullying. It lays out what happens if you're a bully. It shows what level the consequence is, and it shows what level the behavior is, and it shows what consequences are incurred by that behavior. And our principals have copies of those documents, and all parents at the beginning of the year are asked to sign and return a sheet acknowledging that they've received a copy and that they've seen the general rights and responsibilities. It's also on our webpage. But I do like your idea of ensuring that every time a parent comes in, I think it's a great idea, every time a parent comes in and says, I want to know what happened to this bully, we could say, here's a policy and here are the potential consequences. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And you may want to just post it at the schools.
Yeah.
I think that as well. It's a good idea.
Very good idea.
All right. What about your own personal future? We've got a change here, a change in dynamic on the five-member TUSD governing board, and the new member apparently will be Rachel Sedgwick, and she is leading right now by, I think, about 250 votes. Most of the votes have been counted. It appears she will be the fifth board member and a new board member. That changes the dynamic of the board. Some of your critics are hoping that she will go along with some others on the board and basically say you're through. They're not going to renew your contract, which goes through mid-2018.
Yes, sir, that's
so
correct.
So how are you feeling about all of this right now?
You know, when I came into the community as somebody who is a person of faith, I felt that this was the place that I needed to be, and this is where God had placed me. And I know I get criticized for saying that, but I believe that. We have done a lot of good work, and we still have a lot of work to do, and I'm committed to doing that work and working with the board to finish the work and get out from under the desegregation court case. I'm committed to that. And as long as members of the board are committed to that, we'll be committed to that together. In terms of school safety, campus climate, we've been working on that over the last 2 years to ensure that we address concerns and issues and that we have training in place. And if the board's committed to continuing that, I'm committed to continuing that. So I take direction from the board, and I serve at the pleasure of the board, and I serve the students and community at the pleasure of the board. But I'm committed to working with all board members, and I always have been. And that's something that doesn't change. And, you know, Miss Sedgwick or Putnam Hidalgo, either of them come on board, I believe they ran because they love kids and they love their community and they want to see it succeed. And their ideas and their vision, their hopes, their aspirations and concerns, my job is to work with them to address them. And our team is committed to that. Our principals and teachers, we're all committed to making this the absolute best place to educate kids.
And this has been going on, the DeSeg case, since 1974, the year you were born.
Yes, sir.
Some say you just kind of want this to stay around, that this is something that you don't want to let go of.
Oh, my goodness. You know, we want to move beyond the desegregation court case. We're committed to it. I mean, we're a minority-majority district. Arizona is an open enrollment state. We provide transportation and bus passes for kids to go to any school they want to. We have express buses that will take kids from one side of the district to the other. We even have Wi-Fi on some of our buses that go from one side of town to the other, since it takes a little bit of time with all the red lights to get from one side of town to the other. I mean, we're committed to moving forward, and I feel that we're a lot closer today than we were 4 years ago, and I have a lot of respect for the special master, and we've been working well with him to navigate the challenges of this 42-year-old court case at this point. I don't forget how long it's been because it's as old as I am.
What would you like to say now to each of the board members? Is there a message you'd like to deliver to each of them right now?
You know, I think my message is, let's bury the hatchet. Let's work together. Let's make this the best district possible. Let's engage in healthy dialogue. Let's engage in challenging old practices with bold new ideas. Let's let the best idea be the guide and not the loudest voice or the most bombastic personality. And let's work together.
Matthew has called us. Hey, Matthew, 790-2040. Go ahead.
Yeah, very quickly, Dr. Sanchez, I think you've done a remarkable job, and I really hope the board, even if they don't give you a full extension, I think you deserve at least another year to work with this board. Scott Stewart is leaving the PCC, and he mentioned that his biggest concern is how Pima Community College works with the school districts to ensure that the students are ready to come to Pima because of the remedial situation. I hope you guys can work together, Dr. Lambert and yourself, on really addressing that issue. There's got to be a way to utilize both of you to solve that problem. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Matthew.
You know, it's amazing that you brought that point up. This morning I was at a meeting at the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce, and at the meeting was Dr. Ian Rourke, who's one of the vice presidents at PCC. And what we're building right now is a pipeline for dual credit so that our students who are in career and technical education. Now, I want to be real clear, career and technical education isn't the vo-tech of the past. I mean, career and technical education is biomedicine and robotics and engineering, as well as welding and automotive. I mean, everything is computerized these days, and the science is just amazing. So our job now is to take kids who are juniors and seniors who want to pursue a career in robotics or engineering or biomedicine or sports medicine, and get them college credit at the same time they're getting their high school credit. So we're building that pipeline. But to do that, that means we have to have those conversations about what's the level of math knowledge and reading and writing proficiency that's needed for the students to matriculate into PCC and be successful. So those conversations are not just beginning, but flourishing. And I believe Chancellor Lambert has been essential and a key figure in doing that, because he's reached out and empowered his vice presidents and presidents to have these conversations and then to begin acting on those conversations. So we have a great partnership with him, and I believe it will only get stronger.
So you've got a good relationship with the chancellor.
He and I came in at the same time, and I have a ton of respect for him. He has a great vision for Pima Community College. He believes in the kids and the community, and he works tirelessly. He's very impressive and somebody that this community should be very proud to have.
All right. A few moments ago, you made an appeal to the board for unity. What will be the big issue then? What do you see at the top of the agenda for 2017 for the board?
I'd have to say number one is moving to a bond. I mean, we really need to get a bond in place to update our facilities, update our technology, purchase some new buses, and make sure kids have what they need. But I would have to say equally as important is continuing to work with the special master to address the desegregation court case. Those are two big, big issues.
All right, Dr. H.T. Sanchez, thank you very much, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving and holiday coming up. So thanks a lot for being here.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Coming up at 12:30 now on the Buckmaster Show, we'll talk with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias from District 5. We've got the battle of the op-eds, Supervisor Elias op-edding in the Star about Monsanto yesterday and then Monsanto answering today. So we'll find out what this is all about next on Buckmaster.
I'm Patrice Ross with Oracle Ford. Now is a great time to buy a new Ford because Ford is offering $1,000 Black Friday bonus cash on top of our year-end sale prices and rebates. Good now until November 30th. Some models will qualify for the Black Friday trade assistance up to $2,000. Plus, Oracle Ford has no city sales tax and no dealer ads. At Oracle Ford, we have every new vehicle marked down and priced to sell. Plus, you can choose generous factory rebates or 0% for up to 72 months. And don't forget the extra $1,000 Black Friday bonus cash and or trade assistance up to $2,000 on top of our already great offers. Hurry to Oracle Ford's year-end event for your best out-the-door prices during the $1,000 Black Friday bonus cash sale. Good through November 30th. Oracle Ford, drive a little, save a lot, and no city sales tax. Call 818-FORD or visit the web at oracleford.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. Question, how many cockroaches does it take to change a light bulb? None, if you use 5-Star Termite and Pest Control, because there are no cockroaches. Hasta luego. Adios, cucaracha. Do yourself a favor and call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
You love to laugh? Then don't miss Born Yesterday by Garson Kanin, presented by UA's Arizona Repertory Theater. Harry Brock tries to bribe senators in D.C. to help him with a crooked scheme, but his showgirl mistress needs some tutoring so the couple seems believable. See what happens when he discovers a little learning can be a dangerous thing. Come celebrate 80 years of your Wildcats in theater and see Born Yesterday through December 4th, co-sponsored by Jane Kibble with Campbell, Yost, Claire, and Laurel. Season sponsor, Chapman Automotive. Tickets.arizona.edu.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I want to add one thing about Green Things. We just heard that spot from them, and I'm so delighted that Jen and Jack, the owners, they have taken, they took the 4-acre site over there on East River, expanded it to 13. Talk about enhancing the property over there along the Rito River at 3384 East River Road. It's just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. They have really expanded to make that 13 acres. It's full of greenhouses. It's really a green place in Pima County, Richard Elias, who is seated to the right of me here. And I get enthusiastic about some of my all of my sponsors, and Green Things is a place that I certainly do all my gardening. Do you do any gardening, Supervisor Elias?
Well,
or do you? I know you like to see beautiful things grow.
My wife is really the gardener in the family. I do pretty good at eating the food we grow.
Anyway, check out greenthingsac.com. Pima County Supervisor, District Number 5, Richard Elias. First of all, congratulations. You have been reelected. You stood for reelection, as did all of the board members. You will be coming back for another 4-year term representing District 5. And for those that don't know District 5, it's pretty much the central.
Yes, and thank you, Bill. Yes, it's kind of a midtown, heading all the way out west to Tucson Mountain Park, and then heading down south to the Pascua-Yaqui Reservation out there on Valencia and Camino del Oeste, and then up the 12th Avenue corridor all the way into downtown. So most urban of all the districts.
Well, we have the last couple of days have been interesting in the op-ed, the opinion editorial section of the Arizona Daily Star. You had an op-ed yesterday, Monsanto does not deserve tax breaks or benefits. And then today, the Monsanto people, a Kyle Smith, strategy and deployment lead for Monsanto, fired back that Monsanto's Tucson greenhouse will help advance agriculture. And what is at stake here, Supervisor, was, I guess, in August, Monsanto announced plans to build a 7-acre high-tech greenhouse in Pima County.
That's correct. And it's a pretty big facility, but it'll be fully automated and robotic, and only will create about 40, 50 jobs. That's pretty much the proposal that's on the table. So there's not a huge economic development benefit from the perspective of jobs created. It's really about tax dollars and trying to increase the tax dollars that we earn off that property.
You've had some issues with Monsanto.
I do. But let me, before we get into those issues, I would also just say that, you know, Monsanto has already bought that property.
Okay.
They're coming here.
Okay.
They had huge profits. I don't think they need a tax incentive from Pima County in order to come here and operate. This is something that we're doing as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so sure that that's a good idea when you have a company that ultimately has had a lot of business problems, accounting irregularities, price fixing, bribery, mislabeling its products, and chemical testing violations are all things that they've had problems with and been found guilty of.
Well, go ahead.
That really creates a problem for them being a good corporate citizen.
So what is this incentive still up in the air, or has the board agreed to it already?
No, the board has not agreed to anything.
Oh, okay.
Well, and they've already come. They're already coming here.
All right. So they're coming regardless of what the board decides.
That's correct.
So they own the land.
That's correct.
Yeah. So when is this supposed to come before the board?
November 22nd, on Tuesday.
On Tuesday?
It'll be in front of us. That's correct. And it's to create a foreign trade zone out there in the Avra Valley that's a mechanism of the state. And it essentially offers companies that conduct business in those foreign trade zones a property tax incentive. So you get lower taxes.
Well, Monsanto, what will the facility, you say it's like a fully automated facility. And again, what is the location of this 7 acres? Where is this?
It's out there in the Avra Valley, about mm-hmm. half a mile from Marana High School.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying basically if Pima County just says nothing about this, they're going to come and they're going to do the thing anyway.
That's correct.
So what is the advantage then of giving them the tax breaks and the benefits?
I don't understand that, Bill. That's part of my objection to the uh-huh. whole thing. What are we doing here?
Uh-huh.
And like I said, there's multiple problems with Monsanto and their business activities. There's a lot of other very, very strong questions about the environment and what they do for us. And ultimately, their main business right now, genetically modified seeds. Frankly, the New York Times wrote an article about 2 months ago that basically said they haven't produced more food for us, and that's what their purpose is. Okay, so I understand that sometimes things fail, but, you know, Monsanto also has a history of creating other things that haven't been so good for us. DDT.
Mr. Smith, in his editorial, said we've seen around the world the innovations in technology that Monsanto brings forward can help farmers in the face of water scarcity and climate change. Going on with his op-ed, we're eager to continue this important work in Pima County and encourage the residents to learn more about who we are and what we do.
And that's a very carefully worded statement that says nothing about how successful they've been at it to this point.
Now, how is this different from incentives that the county has put forth for Caterpillar, Accelerate Diagnostics, and Worldview Enterprises?
Those are companies that created jobs here in return for the incentives that they were offered by Pima County. And those are companies that came here in order to be corporate citizens, have shown that they are, for the most part. And we have responded because they have created the jobs that they said they were going to create. That is a direct public benefit from that kind of deal making. As far as I can tell, there's really nothing to be gained. In fact, there's something to be lost by making this deal.
790-2040. Roberta has called us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Hi, Roberta. How are you?
Well, trying to get through this chemical maze that we're exposed to, and very sorry to hear that Monsanto is coming here because they have poisoned so many of us with toxic chemicals that some of us can't even survive in this world anymore.
So
do we have to let them come here and poison our food and our air and maybe even the groundwater?
Okay, Roberta.
I think this is an issue that's going to go on way past Tuesday and this tax incentive deal. There's been other communities, like especially out in Hawaii. Japan has completely banned Monsanto from their nation, as well as the European Union. So it's a battle that's going to go on, Roberta, and it is close to some residential properties. It is close to one of our high schools, and so that contamination remains a fear. Now, you might say you have a closed environment that you're working in, but accidents happen. Difficult things happen in these situations. I have a staff member whose grandmother died from borreliosis while she was working at the company that is now Materion. Materion has worked hard to try and be careful because they deal with very serious toxins, but they are close to our high school over there in Sunnyside, close to the admin building there. This is a similar kind of thing. Mistakes and accidents do happen. We should err on the side of taking care of our population.
All right, let's take a break right here. It's 1244. We're with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. We'll be right back on The Buckmaster Show.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved, almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now, with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
Well,
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Are you ready for a weekend getaway? It's midweek. How about the 3-hour drive over to Silver City this weekend? That's a great part of not only New Mexico, but of the southwestern United States. Silver City and the Grant County Commissioners, very proactive when it comes to tourism, and they really want to encourage all of my listeners here in Southern Arizona, give Silver City a try. Something different, historic Silver City. You've got the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. You can hike in the first national wilderness in the country, and that would be the National Forest, the Gila National Forest and Wilderness. There's great birding, hiking trails. Just make a weekend of it. Kind of unplug from everything and just relax. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. That's the site for all the lodging. They have several dozen really nice places to stay and alike many opportunities to recreate in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Well, Pima County, Arizona Supervisor Richard Elias is with us. One more note about Monsanto. There's an event coming up, I believe, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night at Southside Presbyterian Church. Mm-hmm. And it's at 6:30, and there'll be a panel discussion. And you can learn more about Monsanto and its proposal here in Pima County and how you can best participate.
All right. When we think of homeless people, we think primarily of homeless men. And that, of course, we need to think about all of the homeless women as well. And on Tuesday at the Pima County Board of Supervisors meeting, you and your colleagues will be addressing a way to help some of these homeless women.
Yes, I put a resolution on our agenda for Tuesday. In support of Project Period, which is an effort put together by the YWCA to help collect feminine hygiene products for homeless women and homeless young women. And it's a really great opportunity to think about how we can best provide some relief to women who are out there on the streets by collecting money or feminine hygiene products that then we can give out at various locations throughout our community. There's a number of partners involved in it. This is a really good effort, and we're really putting this resolution together so we can get the county's full effort of its employees and its communication staff and everything working in the direction of supporting the YWCA Project Period.
And this is something the Y people feel there's a huge need of in this area.
Oh, absolutely. They started last year, so this is the second year of it, and we're hoping to enlarge the scope of it substantially in its second year.
You know, going back to economic development, we've got nearly 2,000 jobs expected, high-paying jobs that Raytheon will be expanding, and that announcement is expected very soon. And Mr. Huckleberry has pointed out that there could be a like number, maybe several thousand jobs in the pipeline. Do you get the feeling, Richard Elias, that things are really moving forward in the area of economic development?
I think we've made some very good moves in that area in the last year, and we've created a lot of jobs, and we've shown that we can be successful in attracting good community partners to our business climate here in Southern Arizona. And Raytheon is the largest private employer in the area with about 9,000 employees, and this will add another 2,000 employees to it. I think it shows that not only the economic development efforts that we've put forward with other companies, adding incentives into them coming here into Tucson, but the buffer that we created surrounding Raytheon and the roadway improvements have all been good and made Raytheon feel much more secure about expanding their operations here in Tucson and being the good employer that they've been and help so many families grow and be able to prosper here in Pima County. So I think this is a good opportunity to show everybody another win-win in economic development by Pima County.
In many ways, the race that just concluded in the contested area, certainly with Supervisor Bronson's race, was about two narratives. One narrative that Pima County is taking us down the wrong road. We're looking back, and Sharon Bronson was trying to say that things are much more positive for the future.
Some people really have some kind of feeling that they want to deride Tucson in some ways for what we are and the community values that we espoused. I'm a fifth generation Tucson, and I'm pretty proud of this place. I'm pretty proud of our families and our kids, and we have a beautiful place. The Sonoran Desert has proven over and over again that it's our greatest economic asset, and we should build on that. And we should build on that in an intelligent way well into the future. I think that's what Pima County is showing that they're about. The other folks who don't like us so much, stick around. Maybe it'll grow on you some more. You know, if nothing else, go to Anita Street Market in District 5. Get some of those 9-inch flour tortillas. Go home. Put a little bit of mantequilla on there, some butter on there, and I guarantee you, you'll feel better in about 2 seconds.
Okay. How about the legislative agenda for this year? Pima County will be, I'm sure... Well, in the past, Pima County has certainly been targeted, haven't they, by lawmakers?
Absolutely. And so we're looking at a legislative agenda in the next few weeks here that'll come before the board. It hasn't been approved, but we're asking the legislature to impose a half-cent sales tax with a 10-year lifespan for road repairs for Pima County. And I think that'll match what the other jurisdictions are doing to help us try and improve the roadway issue, maintenance, I should say, issue. We also got to look at some transit things that are included as a part of that legislative agenda as well. We're also working on a proposal that would ask the state legislature to stop raiding her funds in the manner that they have been, and that would provide some additional money, again, down here in Pima County. We're also looking at the gasoline tax and urging the legislature to do something with that. They have not made an adjustment to the gasoline tax since it was imposed in 1991. So that is a huge issue, too. And then also calling to lobby for altering the HERF distribution formula. Currently, about 72% of HERF dollars go to counties based on their fuel consumption, and 28% is distributed based on population. We're suggesting a 50-50 split instead that would favor Pima County to the tune of about $6 million. So there's some practical changes there that could help us with our situation with roadway maintenance.
How about the agenda locally here for the budget coming up? We're going to be here quickly after the new year. We'll be thinking about Pima County's budget. How is it looking right now?
Well, you know, we really don't know until the legislature gets into session. And then we start to have a better understanding of how they're doing and how we're going to be asked to assist the state. In other words, what kind of funds are they going to raid from us this year? But I think that our valuations are holding steady now. Our economy seems to be doing better, and that would bode well for us. Certainly taxes went down this past year, so we're hoping that that trend can continue.
You're going to have a new sheriff. Mark Napier will be the new Pima County sheriff. He'll be sworn in probably early in December, will that be, or do you think?
No, it's in January.
January, okay.
It's in January.
So how is that going to change the dynamic of for law enforcement here, do you think?
I think it'll be a significant change, but I would like to congratulate Mr. Napier, and I knew him when he was a cop on the South Side, working that South Side beat, and he was honest and had integrity. And people there on the South Side appreciated that. So I look forward to working with him and hope that the changes that he brings to the Sheriff's Department are good ones.
Richard Elias, Pima County Supervisor in District 3. So certainly it's going to be 2017 will be a year of change, of course, not only nationally, but we're going to see what's going to happen here locally. So once again, the Monsanto vote will be coming before the board on Tuesday.
Tuesday, that's correct.
And you have a meeting at Southside Presbyterian Church, and that meeting is tomorrow night
at 6:30.
All right. Richard Elias, fifth generation. That means the generation goes back all the way to when, Tucson was Presidio. the Presidio of Tucson.
Yeah. So. My first relative in Tucson was in the original detachment of soldiers sent to staff the Presidio.
Unbelievable. Sergeant Elias. No, I don't know what his
He was. He was a sergeant. He was a non-commissioned
Whoa,
officer.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, he was. His name was Cornelio. Elias.
Yep. All right. Richard Elias, congratulations, your reelection, and good luck as we plow into a new year here very soon. Have a great Thanksgiving as well.
Thank you, Bill. I wish you a great holiday, too, and we really appreciate the work that you all do on the Buckmaster Show. It makes a big difference. And if I could be a person who plugs Silver City, I would absolutely say go over there. It's a great place to spend a few days and get out of the hustle and bustle of Tucson. And it's romantic, it's beautiful, and it's a wonderful setting to be able to enjoy.
Well, thank you very much, Richard, for that testimonial. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Shaw with Mike Check, and Ray Allen will be with him on that program. And then 4 hours of local talk from 6 to 10 now here on KVOI. Buckmaster comes back to you, the Buckmaster Show, tomorrow, 12:04. Until then, on behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.